The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Fred Brack from the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known to you as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. And for the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Our State magazine. Today's reading of Our State is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974 and underwriting our program for over 10 years. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. And now we return to the February 2020 edition of Our State magazine, celebrating North Carolina. The theme this month is Restoration Restaurants. We have a picture of the Star Diner under a Gulf gasoline station sign on the front cover. This is the intro to the section on Restoration Restaurants, followed by a couple of articles. All those brick and beam or glass and chrome buildings that hummed with energy and industry in the 20th century, the mills, the factories, even the old filling stations, are finding purpose and prosperity once again. Only now, in a very different form. Across the state, folks are reimagining mid-century and earlier architectural gems as everything from pizza joints to cocktail bars to white tablecloth restaurants. But for all that these local landmarks are changed on the inside, outside their classic silhouettes remain the same. We're transported to a different time and a delicious new place. A couple of photographs on the page here. One is, I guess it's the original photograph. It's black and white, and then the much larger one is the today's color. And what it says is, the 1950s Pure Oil gas station on West Chapel Hill Street in Durham transformed into Grub Restaurant in 2017. The fried chicken biscuits, creative sandwiches, and burgers attracted a crowd from breakfast to dinner, even on the rooftop. Now, I'm not familiar with this name, Pure, for a gas station, but it's a one-story rectangular building, and I'm sure many of you remember this. It's very white. We don't know what the color of the letters Pure are, because it's a black and white photo. There are the classic three gas station pumps out front, and then the little sloped front dispenser, which I think would hold oil, or when you bought a can of oil and had that put in at the same time. And all we see is the word Pure on the upper level, and on the front and on the side, and then the classic right-hand side, the big plate glass windows surrounding the sales office. I think this might have been taken right after they closed, because I don't see anything on the shelves inside. And then the two bays where you would go in for service. Now, today's picture, that whitewashed building is purple. At least to my eye, it's purple. You could maybe convince me it's a shade of navy blue. Not quite sure. And up the right-hand side, going up to the roof, is a large set of stairs, wooden, with some metal and wood railings. And on the rooftop, there is a wood and metal cable railing around the edge, and on top of that, part of it is covered by a solid roof, and part of it is covered by two big pieces of fabric in the shapes of triangles that are artistically displayed and will cut the sunlight coming in and yet look very nice. Now, the original gas station did not have one of those modern big covers over the pumps, and maybe there was an interim version of that gas station in which they had multiple pumps and put one of those big shades over the front. I call it a shade. It's a roof. This one is held up by a single strong post in the center, and it's square. And so maybe it was where the pumps were in later years, and some of you, again, would know that. Today it hangs a sign that says Grub, Durham. I think it says Durham. It's a little hard to read. The top of it is blue and white, or that purple and white. And there are naked light bulbs hung around the edge, and underneath is a lot of shrubbery, a place to park bicycles, and some of the chairs where you can sit outside in the restaurant, and there's a second covered area that extends out from the front. So they've done quite a job transforming the original Pure Oil restaurant. The first article after the introduction is entitled Shine On. And this is the same picture that's on the cover of the magazine, the Star Diner with its two looped over lamps lighting it up, and then the giant golf sign just in front of where some people are walking into the Star Diner. In Tiny Marshall, a new bright spot has appeared on the mountain dining scene, Star Diner. Located in a former gas station, this acclaimed restaurant is one of many local businesses reinventing retro spaces. Written by Ronnie Lundy. That's a new name for me in the reading of our state. And picture here of some of the items on the menu. Marshall, with its population of 903 people, has become a culinary destination thanks to dishes like scallops and shrimp over grits served up in a repurposed golf station on the old Dixie Highway. And here we have a plate swimming in sauce, and it's the scallops and the shrimp and asparagus laid across the top, and a nice glass of red wine and some rolls and another plate of vegetables and something else beyond it for another diner. It was my cousin Larry's fault. The Christmas we were six, Santa left him a colorful metal toy service station, and I got, well, I don't remember what I got, because that's station with its little yellow, blue, and red cars, a lift that could be cranked up with a tiny lever, a ramp for the cars to roll down from the rooftop parking area, and two perfect pumps with miniature handles that could be lifted again and again by tiny men, all was ready to answer the call of fill up, was the swellest toy I'd ever seen. I asked the next year and the next for a service station of my own, but instead I got lovely dolls, cuddly animals, a bake set, and all the books I could read. In the mid-1950s, no one really believed that a service station was a girl's toy. Surely that is why, ever since, I've never passed a deserted classic gas station that I didn't want to own. I'm not interested in pumping gas, of course. It's what the place could become that captures my imagination. I've envisioned, sorry, I bumped the page and it closed the magazine and I lost my place. I've envisioned converting one into a bookstore, a vintage junk shop, a falafel stand, and once in Albuquerque, even my home. And that is why the first time I drove down Main Street in Marshall, a tiny 1930s-era white-frame golf station made my heart skip a beat. The vintage red and white neon star-shaped sign above the entrance proclaimed, Star Diner. Finally, I thought, someone else shared my pump boys and dinette dream. But when I walked up to the door, it was clear that the place wasn't operating yet. This was about 2013, and every time I came to Marshall after that, I would drive by to see if the restaurant had materialized. Gradually, vintage signs began to clutter the outside walls. Wolf's Head Oil, a rusted panel offering rooms at the Traveler's Inn, and golden rhombus that lights up in neon green at night to say, Greenie's Taxi, the latter no doubt chosen to pair with a fantastic 50s green and yellow taxi that showed up under the awning, followed by a Model T flatbed truck with a 1922 license plate. But no actual diner in sight. Then, right around Christmas in 2016, I got an unexpected present when a friend told me that Brian Sinoskis, the former executive chef and 15-year veteran of Asheville's famed Tupelo Honey restaurant, was coming to Marshall to open his dream eatery, a limited seating, retro-romantic, vintage version of an iconic chop house in that magical Star Diner gas station. In other words, he created just the kind of gift I like best, one that can fill me up. Brian's dream, it turned out, twinned that of the building's owner, Bud Nachman, who lives in Charlotte but makes the 145-mile drive to Marshall from time to time, usually bearing new pieces of memorabilia. The vibe when you step inside Star Diner's greeting area with its black and white tile floor and old cash register on an antique bar isn't kitschy, and it's certainly not Cracker Barrel. Instead, it feels authentic, like you stepped inside mid-century Marshall during its heyday as a railroad town, with bustling U.S. Highway 25, the Dixie Highway, rolling past the pumps outside. Dark wood paneling, a long, tall bar with glassware that picks up the dancing light reflected off the French Broad River just beyond the tracks, and tables laid with thick white linens create a mood both classic and intimate. The tiny dining room and slightly larger enclosed patio seat only about 36 folks, meaning the reservations are strongly recommended. The kitchen is equally itty-bitty and all electric, which is almost unheard of in a professional kitchen, where gas ranges and grills are standard. But Chef Brian and his chef de cuisine, Nick Sanford, have used the quirky close quarters to their advantage. When Brian, a tall, bespectacled man with neatly trimmed beard and a grin almost as wide as his shoulders, and his long-limbed counterpart, Nick, take up their posts behind the pots, they basically fill the kitchen gallery. But together, they've worked out an instinctive choreography, which makes what emerges from the kitchen all the more wondrous. Everything is freshly made, so late diners may find that some menu items have sold out. Not to worry, what remains will be just as delightful. Kate Sinoskis, Brian's wife, a co-owner and house manager, says, "We'd rather have 35 customers at the end of the evening saying everything was perfect than having 45 say almost." And perfect does describe the likes of flaky lump crab cakes accented with just slightly spicy roasted jalapeno aioli, crispy fried Brussels sprouts tossed with bacon, parmesan, and pickled cherry peppers, and an intricately layered cylinder of divinely salty roasted beets with a cashew pesto for dipping. And that's just a start. Brian's menu, executed with Nick, also a Tupelo Honey veteran, features classics such as aged beef tenderloin crowned with both Bordelaise and Bernaise sauces, steak au champignon, brown butter local trout, and saltimbocca made with a southern fried chicken breast instead of veal. Kate works the front desk and dining room, greeting regulars by name and putting newcomers immediately at ease. She moves around the cozy dining space with contagious delight and says her favorite part of the restaurant may be the koi pond outside in the enclosed patio. Then again, she also loves a framed towel from a Pullman train car dated September 1921. It appears that some young travelers passed it around, writing bits of verse and cryptic observations. "He had such broad shoulders," and "King's County Gin Mill," while their train was stopped for, as one of them penned, "ice cutting while the car waits." Preserving these and other touches of the past, Gates says, makes it so easy to be transported to another time, another story in the Star. While Star Diner would be absolutely enough to put Marshall on anyone's map, it's far from the only enchanting instance of adaptive reuse in town. The two-story stone building that starred Diner Neighbors is now home to Madison Natural Foods, a grocery featuring local and organic foods and sundries. But the big green garage door out front and the American Motors sign still hanging over the entrance betray its roots as a once thriving car dealership. In fact, while Marshall's main highway may seem narrow by today's four-lane highway standards, it was once the bustling through route known as the Dixie Highway, or U.S. Highway 25. That and the fact that Marshall is also the Madison County seat may explain why more than one former car dealership here has been brought back to life with new purpose. Nearby, the showroom windows of an old car dealership now reveal a painter's studio called the Artist Kitchen, with a floor-to-ceiling mural and a row of merrily colored barber chairs. Next door, a coolly appointed Airbnb rental makes artful use of a space that once stocked sedans. It also capitalizes on the town's other highway with a deck overlooking the river. At the opposite end of Main Street from Star Diner, Sweet Monkey, a delicious bakery and cafe, has taken over what once was the repair garage for a Chevy dealership. The showroom itself was on the second floor, but now there's no sign of the ramp that once allowed cars to be driven up to it. Transportation seems to be a theme here. The old train depot is now a live music venue. The depot, featuring local bands on Friday nights. And the newspaper, News Record and Sentinel, has its offices in two old train cars joined together. The restorations continue down the street, where Mad Company Brew House has its cool, rustic farmhouse-style tasting room and brewery in the former town hall. Meanwhile, just across the bridge that leads from Main Street to Blanahasset Island in the middle of the river, Marshall High School, built in 1925 and scheduled to be demolished in the early part of this century, has been reimagined. In 2007, a group of investors led by Rob Pullian, founder and publisher of Asheville's former Lark Books, saved it and turned the empty classrooms into a thriving complex of artist studios. But one of the most magical transformations in town occurs every Thursday night when Zuma Coffee House, in the building that used to house Home Electric, an appliance and furniture store, morphs into a music hall showcasing a genuine bluegrass legend, fiddler Bobby Hicks, who has played in the bands of Bill Monroe, Earl Scruggs, J.D. Crow, and the New South, Ricky Skaggs, and others. With several Grammy Awards to his name, Hicks' weekly jam sessions attract a passel of talented local musicians. Hicks' talent brings in the occasional traveling crew, too, like Nashville bluegrass star Larry Stevenson and his band, who showed up last fall. That night, seven guitars, five fiddles, three mandolins, one bass, and one banjo packed the front of the coffee house. But it's often the unknowns who bring down the house, such as local picker Scotty Owenby, who took the mic one chilly night to thrillingly sing Buck Owens' I Don't Care, Just As Long As You Love Me. That was number one on this day in 1964, Scotty announced, proving that in Marshall, anything old can be reborn shiny and new again. Even an old Gulf station can be a star. Well, Marshall is way the heck out there on the western side of North Carolina, up against the border. And if you want to get out there, or if you're traveling out there, visit the Star Diner at 115 North Main Street in Marshall. You are listening to our state magazine on the North Carolina Reading Service. If you have any comments on our program, please call the studios 919-832-5138. And now, full service. Why are vintage gas stations the hot new destination for two-handed burgers, fancy grilled cheeses, and local pints? Think location, location, location. Written by Jimmy Tomlin. So we have on the page with the title of the article a delicious-looking hamburger with a grilled bun. It's got the big burger on the bottom bun. On top of it is some cheese melting over. Then there's some lettuce, and on top of the lettuce is a beautiful slab of tomato. And on top of the tomato, there's some ketchup coming over the edge and what looks like a little more mustard or melted cheese, not really sure which it is, and then a nice grilled bun on top. On the left-hand side, it says, when Campus Gas, formerly a Phillips 66, opened in Winston-Salem, visitors mistook the old gas pumps for ones that really work. Now diners know to fill up on cheeseburgers and late tater tots instead. Now, there's the old Campus Gas. It's one of those that had shiny aluminum panels at the bottom and then the sloped back front where you have a pump number 3 on the right and pump number 4 on the left. Both, you can see the 87 octane and then the counters for the number of gallons and then the amount for the sale. I'm not sure the sale had 3 digits, so you remember there was a problem. First, the pumps went up to just 50 cents, and then some went up to 99.9, and that was a big problem as gas prices went through the roof. Now they're all electronic. They'll take any number you want. Ben Ingold can't help but chuckle as he looks out at the twin gas pumps standing side by side in front of the grill and bar that he and a couple of college buddies opened in November 2018. Campus Gas, as the name suggests, was a filling station in his previous life, a Phillips 66 that had served the Polo Road neighborhood across from Wake Forest University since the mid-1960s. And more than a few passing motorists had trouble adapting to the building's new function. When we first opened up, people would pull their car right up beside the pumps, get out of the car, and then not be able to pull the handle on the pump, Ingold says. They look around for a minute, confused, and then they get back in their car and drive away. They didn't even stick around for a beer and a chili cheese dog. Wayward drivers in Winston-Salem don't turn in looking for gas anymore, not since Ingold and his partners installed concrete parking blocks to prevent cars from lining up. But the vintage pumps remain as a pair of nostalgic throwbacks, reminders not only of the days when customers could pump gas here, but also of the era when an attendant did it for you. The pumps are really just art now, Ingold says. We refurbish them, and people like taking pictures of them. They might set their beers on one or lean up against it while they're talking. They're just part of the atmosphere, like the majestic batwing canopy that shelters the outdoor seating area, and the two automotive bays where mechanics once changed oil and rotated tires. The just-for-show gas pumps remind visitors that this place is almost timeless, Ingold says. Unless someone told you, you wouldn't know if this was 2019 or 1969, because not that much has changed. It's a community place, and that's what it always has been. Traditionally, gas stations have not been the go-to for dinner plates and after-work drinks, though. It must be said that in North Carolina, it's possible to get surprisingly good fried chicken and breakfast biscuits while purchasing a full tank and a lottery ticket. But that's another story. More than not, the only cooked food offered at a filling station is day-old hot dogs spinning on metal rollers beneath the lukewarm beams of a heat lamp. That is, unless the gas station is no longer a gas station. Repurposed and renovated, these angular mid-century buildings transform perfectly into culinary destinations. They're eye-appealing, of course, but they're also appealing examples of a trend of creative reuse. In North Carolina alone, more than a dozen old school filling stations have been refashioned into a cocktail bar in Greensboro, an Asian noodle and dumpling joint in Nashville, and a bustling pizza chain in Charlotte. And here are some examples. Filler Up, Campus Gas, a short and sweet menu of hot dogs, sandwiches, burgers, and milkshakes is perfectly suited to the mid-century modern digs. Beer and cider on our tap to sip inside or outside in this former country store in Phillips 66 Station, Polar Road in Winston-Salem, campusgas.com. Dram and Draught, a place for quality sips and conversation. The menu includes rare and vintage whiskeys, cocktails made with North Carolina spirits and craft brews. And to think, Gulf Station attendants here once asked customers, check your oil. Westgate City Boulevard in Greensboro, dramanddraught.com. Fuel Pizza. Spicy wings and New York-style pizza are the draw here. There are now 4 Fuel locations in Charlotte, but only one of them, the original location, offers seating in a pure, or rather in a vintage, pure oil gas station. Central Ave in Charlotte, FuelPizzaCharlotte.com. Gan Shan Station. Not many, or any, gas stations can boast a chef's table. But at this former Gulf station that dates back to the 1940s, the chef turns out praiseworthy Asian dishes, from ramen to pad thai to fried or steamed whole fish. Charlotte Street in Asheville, ganshanggroup.com. Grub Durham, breakfast staples are served until 3 p.m., at this 50s-era Pure station, the lunch and dinner menus include plenty of Carolina classics, from deviled eggs salad to pulled pork with Cheerwine barbecue sauce. West Chapel Hill Street in Durham, grubdurham.com. And the station, Pub Grub, from bacon pimento cheese dip to salads and burgers. Hit the spot at this 1930s and 40s-era Standard Oil station. Sandwiches span the globe. Try a Cuban, a banh mi, or a down-home sloppy joe. North Person Street in Raleigh, stationraleigh.com. We're going to continue the article now. I thought we were at the end of it, but actually that was like a, that's a sidebar. So we go back to the main article. We'll get through as much of it as we can. Part of the appeal, as any commercial real estate will tell you, is location, 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 because gas stations tend to be on corner lots with high visibility and easy accessibility. They're perfect homes for restaurants, says Ellen Durham Jones, a professor of architecture and urban design at the Georgia Institute of Technology, who has studied the trend. As fuel efficiency has gone up, the number of gas stations has declined, she explains. It's nice to see them turned into restaurants, where the canopies now provide patio dining and the garage doors provide indoor-outdoor connectivity. They often provide a walkable destination for their neighborhoods, too. But the past lives of these properties come with environmental concerns about oil and gas spills. You've just got to know that's going into it, Ingalls says of the renovation process. And you hope that you're not going to find something really terrible. At Campus Gas, you remove 2 underground tanks and the soil around them. Thankfully, it wasn't too bad, he said. Well, that is about all the time we have for today's episode of Our State Magazine. I certainly hope you enjoyed it and that you'll be sure to listen next time. I am Fred Brack, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's reading of Our State Magazine was underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Comments, questions? All studios, 919-832-5138. So long, until next time.